KY4QM. KY4QM radio check.
Q4CRG, your radio is working fine.
Last unit, KY4QM, I appreciate that. Can I get your name?
This is Robert from Bowling Springs.
04, HKX, mobile.
QM radio check. KY4QM radio check.
4HKX, I believe it was KY4QM, I believe.
Affirmative, that was KY4QM. Are you a long way away?
I don't know where you're at.
I'm at the Spartanburg Mall, if you want to use that for a target. And we're at the Spartanburg Mall.
North of Greenville, out next to the college on 414.
Roger that. You sound pretty good from up there.
I've got pretty good line of sight at the repeater, so I've got a pretty good location from where I'm at.
I'm sitting in my backyard here with an antenna on the floor, but one of those J-pole copper pipe antennas.
And I've heard you talking about that antenna before. This is Patrick on this end. I can't remember your name.
I'd be KY4QM, and my name is Roy, and I can never keep up with everybody's call signs because they go so fast. I don't have my shorthand.
With you, Roy. But mine is Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-Ray. KO4HKX.
After that, am I hitting you pretty good up there on this little J-pole copper pipe antenna?
We're full quieting into the repeater.
Roger that. You're starting to fade, but I got this J-pole running, so, but you're starting to fade.
A little bit of a hole there while with that, so should be better now.
Roger that. You're a little better. Let me see what the HT does.
A little bit of white noise with you, but you're making it in solid. KO4HKX.
Roger that. I'm on the HT. Not the base, but I don't have an antenna good for the base yet. I'm still working on it, but I figured this HT would hit you.
Roy, what do you do for a living?
I'm a Terminator.
I ask, what exactly is that?
I'm retired law enforcement.
Retired person, but I wasn't sure on the other. It's noisy in this truck sometimes.
Retired law enforcement. Did you copy that?
That. I did get that. Well, thank you for your years of service there.
Had 28 years in, but it don't matter. We got to look forward.
You've been retired, Roy.
In about 4 or 5 years. I put in about 28 between here and Connecticut, but yeah, I miss it, but I'm out.
For HKX, sounds like you got out at just about the right time with everything going on.
True, but the people around here got more sense than the people in the big cities that want to play the games, you know, but we had some tragedies here, but I think it's better than in the big cities.
I'm not from Greenville. I live in Brevard, North Carolina, and I'm making my way back that way now. I run a mobile tool truck through the day, and I'm down here in Greenville right now 4 days a week, but should be down here 5, I guess.
I'm sitting over here. Am I hitting you pretty hard with this little HT?
Sounds good, but it tends to break up toward the end of your transmission. I don't know if it's you're letting off the PTT a little early or, you know, you're just not making it in.
That. I'm just sitting here behind the house here, behind the mall in Spartanburg, but I might be letting off a little early, but as long as it's putting out, that's good.
It worked much better. I got all of that one, but yeah, you were good and full quieting into the repeater that time.
To that, is anybody listening to CB anymore? I'm trying to get a CB set up because, you know, when SHFT, but I can't get nothing on my CB.
I'm calling from time to time, but unless you get sideband on it, you're not going to hear much on 19 on AM or anything like that. So you're going to have single sidebands where most everybody's at now, especially around channel 38 lower sideband.
Roger that. Yeah, I bought a CB on eBay, and then I overpaid to have it perked up or whatever at one of these people that say, we'll soup it up, and now it don't work for squat, so, but I guess I got whatever.
See this much, if you don't tune that antenna properly, that radio won't work. And I don't know what all they done to it, but if you don't tune the antenna to match the SWR or get the SWR down on it or match to the radio, it's not going to perform at all.
Afraid of that. I thought it was just plug and play and whatever, but I can't figure it out. And for what it is for worth for CB, I think I'm just going to chuck it all away. But I thought, that, you know, I was told, oh, you want CB, this, that, and the other radios, but I ain't heard squat on this radio for 2 months.
If you don't mind me asking,
those Cobra XP whatevers or whatever, it's not a cheapie, but it's an oldie. It's about 30 years old, and I sent it off to get programmed, and, you know, and they said, oh, it's already been this, this, and that, but it don't work for shit.
Well, Roy, I've got a phone call coming in, so I'm going to clear out, and maybe the other gentleman can help you there. KO4HKX. I'm clear. 73.
KD2BNG. I had at least one. The old Cobra unit radios. You know, I had one that was new old stock. You know, basically new in the box. Pulled it out and installed it and it didn't work. And what usually happens is after 30 years, 40 years, because when was the last time these things were popular? The electrolytic capacitors go bad. And most of the electrolytic ones, because I don't know of any others that are like fluid filled, they dry up and sometimes you can replace them. If you have a capacitor meter, you can test them and see if the capacitor value matches what it's supposed to be. And if you know, if you've got your usual Radio Shack big box parts that they used to sell, maybe there's one in there. But I don't know. I don't know what you say it's doing or not doing. But a lot of times that was the case.
LSL.
Something LSL, KD2BNG.
I hear you have a, probably a Cobra 29. Was it the XLR that they had? I think it was.
Sure, it wasn't me. It was the other station. Yeah, all I was thinking, you know, the early Cobra unit radios from the 80s and 70s, I've got like four of them. I very much doubt that any of them work. And it's usually in the audio section, and as I said, it's bad. I'm guessing it's the electrolytic capacitors that go bad, and, you know, replace them, maybe they work fine. That's usually what it is after 30 or 40 years sitting. You know, as I said, I had one that was sitting new in the box for 30 years. It worked briefly in receive mode. I don't know if there was ever time to transmit it, test the transmit, but it receives for a little while and then it quit. So, you know, they were never that very well made to begin with.
That will start receiving and then just dies out. Yeah, that's one of those caps going bad in it. And you can usually open that radio up and see which one of the caps it is. A lot of times they'll just be kind of blown up a little bit. The tops will be protruding or what have you. And they're not really all that bad to replace. As long if you've got a desoldering tool or a some solder wick or something like that, and just desolder it off of the board and replace it, just make sure you've got it in the same direction as it came out. But also those radios, a lot of them had a receive part in the microphone. So if you have a bad wire in that microphone cable, then you know, a lot of times the receive would go in and out. So that may be something to check. But I was going to say, if you're going to chunk that radio, do me a favor and make sure you're in my driveway when you do it.
Like I said, I have like four of them. possibly more than that. That, you know, I could, yeah, that's usually what it is, you know. It's an easy board, usually. Generally, it's a big board. It's a single-sided board. It's fairly easy to put heat to the component side and desolder something, so it's not that tough to work on. It's not like you've got, you know, late 90s and 2000s circuit surface-mounted. You know, it's all through-hole stuff, usually, so they're not that hard to work on. But yeah, you know, I don't know really what else goes bad. That's one of the things that I do know go bad. Yeah, I had a bunch of. I still have them. I have like the one that I have, which was kind of at the time the hacker's radio, was the Cobra 148 GTL, and the reason being was. You could get extra frequencies by simply grounding one of the pins on the PLL chip. I think it's pin 10. You take pin 10 and route it to ground through one of the more useless switches on the front panel, like the dimmer and brighter switch, or the TA switch, and all the receive and transmit frequencies go up by 640 kilohertz. And there's another modification that pulls them all down. So you can get, like, something over 100 channels. That was popular to do with radios like that. There was also a way some people put in a, they would take the synthesizer crystal and put in different values using a switch, a rotary 3, 4, or 5 position switch, you know, to basically get additional slices above and below whatever the CV band usually is. So, you know, they were hacker's radios for like the, I guess for the 11-meter, the 11-meter bandits used to like them.
SL for license identification and preservation purposes. Yeah, I had one. Back in, before I got into ham radio, I was big into CB. I had a Galaxy DX88 HML, which I absolutely loved that radio. I had one of the 148 GTLs, and it had the extra channels in it. You know, and these are all radios that I had gotten dirt cheap. And, you know, I'm still kicking myself to this day for selling them. But there is one radio that I still have, and it's the President HR2510. And it needs some help, and I would love to be able to find somebody who can work on them to get that radio back up and running. With that radio, when I first got my general class license, I had to take a trip from West Georgia all the way to Columbia, South Carolina, and I was talking to a guy in Colorado on 10 meters with that radio, and it's only a 10 or a 15 watt radio, but me and him were carrying on a conversation like we were on 2 meters probably for an hour.
And I paid like $200 for it at the time. The President HR 2510. Yeah, I think 510 comes from the power designation. It was a 25 watt, 10 meter radio. And the one I had, apparently there was a very, very easy modification where, you know, I don't know, make a trace here, here, and all of a sudden, you know, it had 10 meters as like four bands of 40 or 50 channels, A, B, C, and D. Now, all of a sudden, after you do this, there's an E, F, G, and H, which is the same thing for the 11-meter band. And there was a band I or something, or some other letter, which was the 40-channel USCB band with all the weird little gaps in the backward channels and everything else. So, yeah, that was a good radio. And, you know, I lost it. Deborah's parents threw it away. That's why I was mad at them for a long time. You know, they threw away a lot of good stuff. My in-laws.
Fuck you, sick. And I'm going to make you even sicker because I think I paid $50 for this one and used it probably for 5 or 10 years. And then, like an idiot, and now it doesn't work. It will power up, thank God, but it's probably got the glue malfunction that they had in them. So I really just need to find somebody who, you know, works on this stuff and send it to them. I may send it to Skyland and see what they can do with it.
G&G. Yeah, the other thing I could have gotten, which wouldn't have mattered because I ended up losing the radio, somebody was wanting to give me for free, I don't know if you heard of the chip switch, but there was a replacement microprocessor for that radio, which gave you things like, which, you know, it didn't normally have, and it gave you a couple of other features. It gave you some enormously huge channel capacity, like 100 channels or a couple of hundred channels, by replacing the onboard microprocessor with, you know, something else. Gave you a bunch of extra features.
The chip switch mod. See if I can say that pre-con fast. Yeah, and it really just took that radio up 2 or 3 notches. It was a phenomenal modification to do to them. You know, I think I've got a couple of old Cobras sitting around here that really don't work, but I am looking to get another one. If I can't get this 2510 fixed, I want to get one to put in my truck along with, I'm going to put another 2 meter in it. I'm probably going to put my FT100 in there for mobile HF.
About that particular radio, and it was probably a very simple mod, and it was probably Unitin originally had it that way, but we can't legally sell this in the U.S. market. However, if you cut a trace here, wink, wink, nod, nod, it becomes the export version of that radio. But that would have been useful to have, I guess, the citizens band and, you know, 10 meters in the same radio would be actually a useful thing. But, yeah, I never really got a chance to use it. I don't even remember. I had it installed in one of my cars. I took it out and I put in something. Oh, I still have this, not Unitin, I think it's Midland. Midland commercial radio. I have the commercial, they had a commercial and a VHF and UHF radio. Midland. So that was probably the one I bought for the taxi cab company. I had two of those, so I ended up putting that one in and using it on 70 centimeters.
Repeat a little bit, see if somebody wants to come in here. Yeah, those were good radios as well. You know, they just don't make radios like that anymore. When Cobra and Unitin, which
Cobra made all the Uniden's radios, or Uniden made all Cobra's radios, and what have you. When they went from being manufactured in the Philippines to, I think they're manufactured in Malaysia or China now, when they switched that manufacturing area, it just, the quality kind of went south. You know, those, the older Philippine-made Uniden Cobras, some of the exports were made, had the same boards in them and what have you. They were almost bulletproof. They were very easy to work on. You know, if you blew a final out of it, it wasn't a headache to try and get a final put in it. You know, if a chip went bad, well, there's, you know, 1,000 of them laying over here in the junk pile that I've robbed parts out of, and, oh, well, this one's got one, so, you know, you use it. So, yeah, radios are changing, just like everything else. Everybody's got to new and improve everything. KG4LSL.
2BNG. Yeah, one good thing about it is built fairly rugged. You know, they stand up to atmospherics, you know, dust, dirt, wind, rain, whatever. They usually have pretty hot audio. They have good audio. And usually they have the fun never blow out because they're designed for, like, non-radio people to use. Oh, I wasn't supposed to transmit without the antenna? Oh, I didn't know that. Did I hurt it? Nah, it'll be fine. So, you know, they're very, very, very tough. Yeah, I have the UHF and the VHF version of that radio. It was an 8-channel, 32-channel, and 128-channel version. And as I discovered, almost by accident, they're actually all 128 channels. changed something in the code plug and write the modified code plug back out. And now, magically, you have 128 channels. That's almost a very Motorola thing to do. But, yeah, that was... I should put one of them on the air. Maybe the one for 2 meters, the VHF one.
Yeah, they really kind of over-engineered those radios. But, and like you said, it was a good thing that they did that. They built them to be high duty cycles, so they would handle the heat. They would handle, you know, all the crap that goes along with commercial radios, you know, if they're being put into a military or a police, fire, you know, anything like that. They can handle a lot. So, you know, and that's really the main thing that gets a lot of these components is the heat. So if you can find a way to keep them cool, you know, it doesn't go through the heat up and cool down, heat up and cool down, you know, 1,000 times a day or a week, you know, because that's when you really start getting your the wear on your components.
Radios as opposed to maybe radios built for the amateur radio services. You know, I don't see the big giant heat sinks that I see on amateur radios. You know, either the components are more tolerant of heat, or it's more likely that it's the duty cycle of commercial radios is usually, you know, dispatch radio transmissions are usually short. Yeah, we all units, we got a 1031 at 123 Main Street. You know, that's the entire transmission. They don't usually key down for 2 minutes at a time. But I actually had a fan mounted on one, and I pulled a fan out of a computer, and I found some weird connector around the back where there was power available to operate the fan. Although it may not really have needed it.
The radio manufacturers know that us hams like to ratchet jaw a little bit. Hi. this FTM 3100 that I have has got a fan in the back of it, as does the FT450D that I use for HF. They both have fans. The 450 has a variable fan, so, you know, as it starts heating up, the fan will spin up a lot faster.
and I think that was one of the best decisions that was ever made in the newer radios, is to put fans in them, because heating was always an issue, you know. And I can sit here with this 2-meter radio on high power. I think it's a 65-watt radio. I can sit here with it on high power, stay keyed down, talking, what have you, and it doesn't ever get hot to the touch like my HTX 212 did, which I still have somewhere in a box.
Static in the background, or is it just you? Might be me, too. Yeah, I caught most of that. Yeah, I am, you know, a good old American, you know, portable radios, if you can get them. Problem with those radios is programming software, and especially programming cables, is sometimes hard to, you know, Motorola radios had that. Also, Motorola radios are funny, because, you know, they might literally have two dozen different variants of the same model that differ only in, like, you know, this only goes between this band and this band, or it's got some weird split that you can't change because it was designed for some government radio service, you know, things like that. So know what you're buying. Some of them are easy to adapt for the amateur service, some of them aren't, because they were very, you know, specific, you know, very customized. And, you know, again, a lot of that, too, was firmware, but, you know, you can... But, yeah, if you got old Motorola radios, those are excellent.
The static in the background may be a little bit of QRM, I guess I will call it, going on the radio. Yeah, the old Motorola radios, there was a repeater that was in Cartersville, Georgia, that I used to talk on a lot. And for the first, gosh, probably 6-7 years, that's all that was the repeater, was a couple of old Motorola radios that the repeater owner had modified and made work on 2 meters, and had a phenomenal, I mean, an absolutely phenomenal range on that repeater. Before Lightning took it out and took out the duplexers, the antenna, the radios, not sure if it got the power supply to them or not. I know it got a couple of batteries. So yeah, we ended up doing a work day out there, and we had to rebuild the entire repeater, including putting a new antenna, a new hard line. All of that. That was an interesting day. KG4LSL.
You know, as I said, be buyer beware, because you find some real weird ones, like, oh, this one only does the 406 to 410 megahertz government band, and it's got some weird, like, 400 kilohertz split, and it only does a certain mode or something. But yeah, your repeater, I think, you can make with a bunch of Motorola Max tracks. That's probably what he made it with. You know, when I worked at Motorola in Plantation, there was I was working with the, it was the, remember Nextel, the Nextel service, there was a, Motorola had a service called iDEN, which was basically what Nextel used. They had it in a display case somewhere. It was a model we called the SoCo. It was made for Southern companies, the Southern Power Company or Forestry Company, whatever they are. And this thing had been caught in a forest fire. It had actually burned up, and it showed the burned up case. But hey, just take the board out and put a new case in it, and you're fine. You know, it's designed so that it flies out the window of the police car, lands on the pavement below. You know, a truck runs over it, and it still works. So, you know, very, very durability. Durability almost to the point of literally being bulletproof.
Nextels very well. I had them for a while. And I've had Southern Link.
I think is what it was, down in South Georgia. Had one of those handhelds, probably still have it around here somewhere. I don't know, there's something about me not throwing stuff away that my wife absolutely chases me around with a Louisville Slugger saying it either goes into the trash or you're getting hurt. Hi. But yeah, those, man, those radios, you can't say enough good stuff about those old radios. And I know it sounds, we're starting to sound like our old grandfathers and everything else. Man, you just can't have the good stuff anymore. They messed it all up. And a lot of that is true. You know, they used to build things to where you could fix them and work on them, keep them maintained yourself, you know, just like the old cars did. And now we've gotten into a throwaway society where, well, it's messed up, throw it away and get a new one. And I really don't like that. Now, if I wear it out and it just is not working anymore, then yeah, I'll throw it and get a new one. But, you know, just everyday stuff, I won't. I'll either fix it or find somebody who can.
Now, what was I saying about the ones we're using as police radios? Oh, yeah, there was another another customer, I think, also had those Iden radios or something similar. Yeah, we got a complaint, you know. The battery keeps falling out of the radio, and we don't know why. This was like the Indiana State Police or something, and it turns out, well, you know, if you use the radio as a club instead of your baton, yeah, the battery tends to fall out. They had to redesign the latch to hold onto the battery better. That's actually one of the tests that I saw people doing with the, I was in the testing department for the Iden radios, and I go in the stairwell one day, and there's radios falling down the stairwell. What the heck are you doing? Oh, that's a battery test. It's supposed to fall like three stories, and the battery doesn't pop out. And it goes without saying, of course, the radio is supposed to still work. But yeah, that was the other thing, the other story that came to mind. The burned up SoCo radio with it, you know, they did the, just put a new case and keyboard and it works fine. And the Indiana State Police, yeah, I don't know why the battery keeps coming out. Turns out, yeah, they were using it as a billy club. So yeah, sorry, that tends to dislodge the battery.
Yeah, there that is,
KG4LSL. Yeah, I'm laughing myself because I can't make these things up. And you look at some of the portable radios like the Saber, if you remember the Motorola Saber, the handheld. I mean, those things were, you could use those as a weapon. Big old heavy thing. Even the commercial radios that I mentioned, that Midland radio, the microphone on that thing is like, what's that medieval weapon? I think it's called a flail. An iron ball at the end of a string and it's got a handle. And it's this spiky ball that you whip on the chain and hit people with. You can almost use the microphone for that. You know, but then again, part of the reason we have maybe a disposable culture now also, too, is how much do you want to pay? Would you pay twice or three times the price for that old American quality? If not, then it really isn't a problem, is it? You have the level of quality you're willing to pay for.
Definitely. But, you know, I come from the school of you get what you pay for. You know, when I bought this, the FT-450 and the FTM-3100, both of those radios were the first brand new radios I have ever purchased. So, you know, and I hate that they discontinued the 450. It is a phenomenal radio. It's got a great filtering system. It's got a great receiver on it, and I am having an absolute blast with it. I've got it up with my the FL Digi, and WSJTX and, you know, all the digital programs. So I'm able to do a little bit of CW now. I'm able to do some PSK work and, you know, plus doing the sideband work on it as well. And just I'm having a ball with it. Really am. I got a phone to go on it just because the microphone that comes with it is not the best. But, you know, this one is better and it's tunable. So I have got to back out of here, though, because I have got to start making our dinner. I am smoking a shrimp and crab macaroni and cheese tonight. So I need to go and get the smoker fired up, go get the macaroni made, and get all the ingredients put in there so it can smoke for an hour or two. And looking forward to it. It's good, been good talking to you, and I'll be around a little more often. Just I've kind of been busy trying to get the YouTube channel up and video editing and all of that, and it's just been crazy. So 73, sir, until we meet again. KAG4LSF.
Now, wait a minute. You were the one who wanted the computers? I can give you those as well. Anyway, we'll talk later. KD2BNG. Yeah, I got to go in too. It's getting to be that time. So you have a good one, 73.
I've been just busy. Talk to you later. KG4LSL.